The following sermon is brought to you by Springville South Church of Christ. For more information, please visit www.springvillesouthchurch.org.au.
Christianity is not a philosophy. You can practice any major religion in this world without its central figure and it'll go on. But one thing you know, you cannot have Christianity without Christ. You cannot have Christianity without Christ. Because Christianity is not a religion. It is a relationship with a living and a loving and a merciful God. Christianity is not a cult. Christianity is not a creed. Christianity is not a cause. Christianity is not even a church. Christianity is Christ Himself.
Well, no doubt you've been observing in shopping malls all over the place. Long queues. Mums with kids and dads and joint parents sometimes with kids all waiting to see Santa Claus. Have you seen that? Ready to see Santa Claus and get a picture with him. I've got a clip here that we're going to watch in a second. And there was one such queue in a shopping mall. And this little boy, he pulls on a dress of a lady and says, "Where's the queue to see Jesus? I heard it's his birthday. How come we don't see him around?" Let's let the song do the talking. Matt, Nate, would you mind just the blinds, please? Just listen to the words carefully. Nice and loud too, darling.
Jesus, is he here at the store? If
into the blinds, please. John MacArthur told the story. He told the story of a wealthy couple from the Boston area many, many years ago who held a christening party for their newborn baby. And they invited friends and family and relatives to their magnificent home in Boston to celebrate the birth of their precious infant. Half hour into the party, when it was time to bring out the child, this baby for everyone to see, the mother made a tragic discovery. The large bed where she had left the baby asleep had been piled high with coats from the guests. The baby was lying dead underneath the coats, suffocated by the carelessly discarded garments of the guests. That tragic scene, folks, perfectly illustrates what the world has done to Christmas. The celebrations of the birth of Jesus has been forgotten and smothered by all the haste and commotion that we now call Christmas. Where's the line to see Jesus? As we enter into a time where the countdown has started to Christmas, we as believers must remain focused on what the true meaning of Christmas is all about. My passage this morning is from Isaiah chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Verse 13 says this, "Then Isaiah said, 'Hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you now try the patience of my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and you shall call him Emmanuel.'" When you read the Bible, you will discover that there are many names and titles given to Jesus. In fact, there are more than hundreds of names given to him. In fact, one study says that there is 187 such names and titles given to Jesus in the entire Bible. Some of them are more familiar than the others. We've heard of Shiloh, the Star of Jacob, Redeemer, the Son of God, Bright Morning Star, Wonderful, Counselor, the Root of Jesse, the Alpha and Omega, the Lamb of God, King, High Priest, the Lily of the Valley, Mighty God, the Ancient of Days, Jesus, Christ, the Son of David, and I can go on and on. However, there is no name more significant than Emmanuel. This name means God with us. Matthew refers to it in his gospel in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23. It's a name that was given to Jesus by the prophet Isaiah nearly 700 years before Jesus was born. His name is a very special Christmas name, God with us. I would like to share a few thoughts on why this name is so meaningful at this Christmas time this morning. Why do we humans need God to be with us? From God's perspective, folks, he saw that the human race slowly but surely was sinking into oblivion. The creation which he thought originally was very good was becoming and is becoming more and more corrupted all the time. We human race is becoming so perverse, so jaded, so violent that we cannot judge properly anymore. You disagree with that statement, just read any newspaper and hear any news channel and you'll see how depraved man is getting every day. God had seen all this wickedness in the world, and he knew we had no hope whatsoever. In Isaiah 24 and verse 3, this is what it says, "The earth will be completely laid waste and totally plundered. The Lord has spoken his word." Isaiah 24 verses 19 and 20. "The earth is broken up, the earth is split asunder. The earth is violently shaken, the earth reels like a drunkard. It sways like a hut in the wind. So heavy upon it, it's the guilt of its rebellion that it falls never to rise again. Then in Matthew 13, verses 41 and 42, and it says, the Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And this is why, folks, we need Emmanuel. We need God to be with us. Because when we read Scripture, we see that it is only He who can undo the things that we have done. It's only God who created us who can restore us back again. It is only God, our Creator, can break down the sin that separates us from Him. It is only our Creator that can give us meaning to our lives this morning. And it's only God with us that can save us from the oblivion that is heading towards us. And so God the Son, sent by His Father, the action became a reality. So great was His love for us, His fallen creation, that is for you and me, that He was compelled to send His Son. And His Son, who left all the glory and all the splendor that was His in heaven, He came down to this earth and lived a perfect and sinless life, and ultimately paid the penalty of our sin by dying on the cross and rising again. He broke down the wall that separated us. Our sin had built this wall, and it separated us from God. But it is because of what Jesus Christ did that wall was broken, and He brought us reconciliation. 2 Corinthians talks about that in verse 5 and verse 19. And I love the way the Message Bible puts it. It says, God put the world square with Himself through the Messiah, giving the world a fresh start by offering forgiveness of sins. God knew, according to the law that He had laid down, that man had no chance whatsoever because of their sin. Because of our sin, the Bible says that the wages of our sin was death. No way out. God also knew that until man kept His perfect law, He could not do away with sin. And as a result, He had to be restored back to the Creator. And the only way He could do it was by sending Jesus Christ to us and dying, and Jesus Christ coming and paying the penalty of our sin this morning. God loved this creation so much that He did not want them to die. And to be true to His law and not be found a liar, someone had to die. Someone whose death could cancel the penalty of my sin and cancel the penalty of your sin. Someone who will stop the corruption and make things new. And to do this, Emmanuel, God with us, decided to die for our sins this morning. God with us is an amazing Christmas story. Amazing. It began 2,000 years ago. He came born of a virgin woman under the law. Galatians 4 says, and verse 4 says that he was born under the law. The true meaning of Christmas is one to stagger the imagination, folks. We think we understand it with our finite minds, but we don't really. We don't really. When you dwell on it, it's mind-blowing. The second person of the Trinity, the only begotten of the Father, the eternal Word of God, the one the Bible says in John chapter 1, verses 1 through to 3, and then verse 14. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything that was made. And then verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. this amazing and loving and merciful God willed himself, clothed himself in our nature, and to become man, our brother, just like us. God himself lies in a manger, completely human and completely divine at the same time. And it says here, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent his son, made of a woman, made under the law. Emmanuel. In this one name, everything we human race need is compounded in this one name. The entire plan of God's salvation is included in this one name. Emmanuel, God with us. Folks, the reason for Christmas is Easter. Jesus came to be the Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world, to take our place, to take my place, and to take your place on the cross, so that we might have his place in life. Amen? Emmanuel, God with us, is packed with so much meaning that it would be tough to unpack in one or two or maybe three sermons. What we see when we read this world, what it means, we see the grace of God. We see God's forgiveness for thieves and prostitutes and murderers. We see God's forgiveness for good sinners like you and me. We see God touching the untouchables and loving the unlovables. We see second and third chances, and we see the 70 times 7 forgiveness, grace extended to one and all. We see enemies loved and prayed for. We see the sun shine on the just and the rain fall on the just and the unjust. We see grace, and that grace we have all drunk from. And that grace, the Gospel of John says, will never ever run dry. You and I can draw as much as we need and as many times as we need, and we will always be full when we draw from that grace. Amen? How blessed we are that Jesus Christ became Emmanuel, God with us. How blessed we are. This morning we may wonder, does God understand me? Does God understand what I face in life? Can God know my struggles from a human perspective? And the answer to all those questions is a resounding yes. A resounding yes. The wonderful promise that God made to each one of us through Jesus Christ this Christmas season for us to remember is the word Emmanuel. God is with us. Amen? God is with us. It's a promise to be with us in our troubles. He said he will never leave us nor forsake us, even up until the end of the earth. He will never leave us to our own resources because he is with us. All of his resources, folks, are now available to you and available to me. See, the difference of the new covenant, it's amazing. In the past times, God made this kind of promise to special people in history. Abraham, he said, Abraham was a stranger in a threatening land, but God said to him, I will be with you and I will watch over you wherever you go. To Moses, he told Moses personally to go and confront Pharaoh. He said, go and confront Pharaoh, the most powerful king on the earth at that time. And all he gave Moses was a staff. And he said to Moses, I will be with you. And Moses went to Pharaoh at great risk. As a result, God delivered the people from Egypt through the Red Sea. And after Moses, his apprentice, Joshua, was thrust into leadership. God promised Joshua, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Powerful stuff. But what about you and me? What about today? Jesus being Emmanuel, God with us, means that his promise is not just for the great leaders from the past, but it is for all of us. It's for you today and it's for me today. His promise is for us. Just before Jesus ascended into heaven, he spoke to his disciples. And we see this account in Matthew 28. And Jesus came to them and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples to all of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things. And whatever I have commanded you, so do. I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. That promise, Emmanuel, is not only for the apostles, it is also for us today. God is with us. God is with us is a very radical Christmas meaning this morning. It isn't about the mistletoe. It isn't about the music or the parties and the presents or even the spirit of giving like people talk about. Christmas is a celebration of the radical fact that God took on human flesh and Jesus was born. The love of God is so powerful that He became like us in order to save us. And even more powerful, God remains with us through His Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, when I looked at all of this, by the way, these messages you'll hear in December are short, brief, Christmas-based type messages. When I looked at all of these, I said, what potential has this for the church? How can the church use this message this Christmas time? And I came up with the most of all, the importance of all of this is that Jesus did exactly what we ought to do. God saved us so that He could know us and we could know Him. And then God comes to live inside of us so that we could do what Jesus did. Now, I'm not talking about walking on the water, because if you try that, you most certainly will drown if you try walking on water. I'm not talking about raising the dead or dying for the sins of the world, because we can't do that. But what I'm saying here is for God's people to show forth the grace and the truth and the true meaning of Christmas, and to make this invisible God visible to the people outside this Christmas season. How do we do that? I've listed three things for us to do. First, I said, by a changed character. Followers of Christ are repentant people. We're not perfect, but we are forgiven people. Amen? We are sorry for our sins, and we've been forgiven for our sins because we've asked Jesus Christ to forgive us of our sins. And who by the Holy Spirit, Jesus resides in them, and the Word of God is there for us to use as a guide in our lives. And our lives are changed by doing that. The Holy Spirit in our lives and following the Word of God. God begins to shape them and make them like Jesus every day of their lives. So every day of our lives we are moving towards being more like Jesus, because that's what God is doing in our lives. And you know what, folks? When people see our lives changed every day, they ought to marvel at our lives. Does the world marvel at your life and my life? Do they see any changes? Do they see that our lives are different than theirs? And I don't mean this in any arrogance. I mean, do they see a real change in our lives that they can say, I want what Keith's got. I want what Carol's got. I want what Russell's got. Do we see that? Do they see us more peaceful in the midst of our troubles and trials? Do they see us filled with faith in spite of what we go through? And folks, let me tell you this, whether you agree with me or not, the world is constantly watching us and how we react to situations. So the first thing is by our character. Secondly, I found is compassionate conduct. Followers of Jesus are people of compassion who give of their time and treasures and talents to meet the needs of the hungry, to meet the needs of the hurting, the lost, the bruised, and the tired, and most importantly, the lost in our community and in the world. Folks, Christmas is a great time to start these things, start doing these things, but don't ever limit ourselves to Christmas time only. followers of Jesus Christ make the invisible God visible as they love the unlovely and demonstrate mercy to the undeserving and grace to the needy, because we should never forget what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for each one of us. Amen? If it wasn't for His grace and mercy, we wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be standing here. My third point is concerned communication. Very important. Followers of Christ look for an intentional ways or opportunities to tell people about Christ's love, that they need to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, because He died for their sin and He rose again, and He can, by them accepting Jesus, they can have a sure way to heaven. Amen? He's willing to forgive their sins. He's willing to do anything for them as long as they accept Him and come to Him. So this Christmas, I want to give you a challenge. Why not in your Christmas card write a little note? Share your story. Write your little testimony to people who don't know you and put it in your Christmas card. Add a relevant scripture text. Put a Christmas tract in your Christmas card. Pray for them and leave it then to God. Because by doing that, what will happen is the Holy Spirit will start to work through your words, through your testimony, through that tract that you put in, and slowly draw them to Christ. People are more willing to hear more about your life and experience around Christmas time and Easter time. They're more drawn to that than any other time in the year. I remember reading a quote one day that it says that you may be the only Bible that some people would ever read. So your life and my life is constantly on a pedestal. People are observing. So there you have it, folks. That is why Emmanuel came. And that is our purpose in this world today, to make this wonderful, merciful, loving God visible to people who do not know Him. Amen? This morning, that's all I have to share with you. In the coming weeks, it'll all be similar 15-20-minute type sermons to encourage you all about Christmas and how we can get involved in sharing Christ with people. Let's pray. Amen. Father, we love You. We thank You so much, Lord, for what You have done in our lives. This Christmas season, Lord, help us never lose an opportunity to share with the folk around us, Lord, Emmanuel, what does it mean? God with us. And tell our story of how God with us, Lord, and our testimonies that will bless people. Help us not to shy away from that, Lord. Bless each one here today, and I pray for those who couldn't make it this morning, for whatever reason, that Your hand would be upon them in Jesus' name. Emmanuel, God is with us. Amen. Bless you. God bless you.
We hope you've been encouraged from today's sermon. If you would like further information about Springville South Church, please visit our website at www.springvillesouthchurch.org.au.